this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Well, hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Yun.
And I'm one of your other half, Shrush. We welcome any feedback and comments at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's JARP podcast@gmail.com. Unless they're negative, in which I'll be spending my free time deleting them before Sean can read them. He's quite sensitive. Sean?
This is true. I don't like bad things. But what is also true is that this podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-episode of Invincible on Prime Video, a conversation about what the hell we just watched.
And if you haven't seen the first episode, well, that's fine too, but there are spoilers ahead. So, you've been warned. But alongside our review of Invincible, we will also be pairing it with a movie from our childhood.
Yes, we are doing our best to match these current series with movies from our childhood with hopefully similar themes. And this week, I've chosen an oldie but a goodie, Ron Howard's 1989 classic Parenthood.
Let's get into it.
Well, this is an animated series, Invincible, on Prime, Amazon exclusive.
Invincible. Who's in it, Sean?
Well,
Stephen Yeun.
He plays the lead character, teenage Mark Grayson. The incredible J.K. Simmons, who we've talked about on this podcast a few times, he plays Nolan Grayson, the father, also known as Omni-Man. And Sandra Oh plays Debbie Grayson, the mom. And but it's also sprinkled in, we get some appearances from other people, and one of them being Mark Hamill is Art Rosenbaum, and he's the tailor, the super suit tailor.
Accomplished voice actor,
Mark Hamill. Very. I had no idea until I saw the credits.
Yeah, I think that's been his main bread and butter ever since that Star Wars thing never went anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I think probably one of his greatest voices is the Joker from the Batman animated series.
I've heard that.
Oh, yes, Batman.
And Sandra O'Face. Oh. Thinking about taking that chick from linguistics. Going to show her my O'Face.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Who directed this show, Sean?
I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Oh, Robert Valley. I looked at a bunch of his credits. He came from animation, lots of animation, whether that was a animation design or an animator himself. It's kind of ambiguous on his IMDb profile. But yeah, he worked on The Hollow, Tron Uprising, one that I've talked about in the past, Love, Death, and Robots, which there is a season 2 coming out soon. I'm very excited about that.
Hold the phone.
It's produced by a lot of people, but most notably, I guess, the names we would know on a daily day would be Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen. So, yeah.
Good old Canadian kids.
Yeah, I think they like the graphic novels and the kind of, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, not outlandish comics, but you know, the less than mainstream ones, you know, that are really cool, that, you know, you kind of have to dig deeper to find, or be more of a comic book fan, I guess, to come across. They like bringing those to light. I don't think this is the first time they've done that. I think
they produced Preacher.
Preacher, which was Lucifer, one of them. Preacher, which was a comic book.
Which
as well,
was a comic
wasn't
book,
it?
But it was like the live action version, yeah.
Right. And what was that other one? The graphic animated one? Sausage Party. That's it. Yeah.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really, really glad Seth Rogen brought that to light.
Right.
So,
that changed
thank you, Seth.
Your life.
Thanks, Seth. Robert Kirkman and Ryan Ottley wrote it.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Well, you don't know Ryan Kirkman.
No. Robert Kirkman.
I combined the two names.
You obviously
together.
Don't know them either because you got their
Kirkland
names wrong.
Is I can't. Okay, let me go. Let me go again. You don't know Robert Kirkman?
No, Kirkman. It's Kirkman.
Oh, Kirkman.
Kirkman. I've got the notes. Right, read the notes. Kirkman. Right in front of you. Okay, take three.
Okay, here we go. You don't know Robert Kirkman? Have you been hiding under a rock?
I told you I don't read.
Anyways, Robert, my good old friend Bobby K, was the creator of The Walking Dead series. Oh. And this is why all those guys are from The Walking Dead, which you'll point out very soon. But yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, a little,
beer.
And obviously The Walking Dead has become a very large franchise, and he's been... And Robert Kirkman's created his own little company, I think Skybound, I believe it's called, which is a very like a platform that supports the creators. Unlike if you like write a Marvel comic, Marvel can take it away from you and create movies and you don't get any financial reward from it later on in life.
Does he produce The Walking Dead through this production company, or was it sort of it came out of The Walking Dead?
I think he was the showrunner, at least the head writer for Walking Dead, the show. But he may be, as the show got more popular, he may become a main producer as well. I'm just guessing. Making some big assumptions on my old friend, Ryan Kirkman.
My God. You can see four times now. Okay. Robert Kirkman.
Okay, right.
And Ryan Otley.
I know him well.
Anyways, now the whole tie-in of The Walking Dead is there's 7 former Walking Dead / Fear of the Dead actors and provided voices just for this first episode alone, I believe. That's what my note says.
No, you are correct. I mean, obviously, Steven Yeun is the was Glenn on The Walking Dead, and he's kind of the main guy. But the rest of them...
J.K. Simmons wasn't on The Walking Dead,
J.K. Simmons
though,
wasn't, but all the Guardians of the Globe, all of those guys were all from The Walking Dead. So everyone who voiced a Guardians from the Globe, they showed up. They had parts on The Walking Dead.
Right.
How far did you get in The Walking Dead?
Into season 2, I think.
So not
and
very
then
far
I dropped
at all.
Off. No, might be like Breaking Bad. I might have to go back and watch it.
No, I would say don't bother.
Yeah.
I got to
it
the end.
It thinned out, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was
I
like
got
started
to the end
off really well, and then it just kind of...
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was really good. I got to the end of season 6, and I stopped. But I think they're completing the series now. Season 11 starts in August or something along
those
lines.
Oh, they're still going.
Oh, yeah. They went. They
I
went
thought it was done, and then Fear of the Walking Dead kind of took over.
No, Fear of the Walking Dead just kind of ran in tandem. And
does it still, or did that one run its course?
I have no idea. I watched the first season of that one too, and then kind of I just
we'll
gave
have
up
to ask
on the
Jason.
Whole.
Jason knows.
Jason,
our
knows.
Number one fan.
Hi, Jason. What
Hi,
could
Jason.
You send an email to jarppodcast@gmail.com and let us know?
Are you listening to this at work?
Information that we could easily search on Google.
Do you
but
have clothes
instead of
on right now, while
instead
you're
of us searching
this?
That, do you mind just emailing that to us, taking time out of
just
your
to
day to inform us on
make us really happy
how The Walking Dead is doing.
Yes.
On the television.
He's going to say it's awesome because he's got like all the swag. He's
oh,
got
he loves
comics, t-shirts, and I think he named a couple of his kids. One of his kids is named Zombie and the other one's named
Rick. Carl.
Rick.
Carl!
Zombie! Just kidding.
Carl and Zombie.
I'm not going to tell you what he named his kids.
Yeah, please don't.
I just stumbled upon this on Amazon, new animated series. I took a risk. It said it was 18 plus. So I thought, hey, let's try it out.
Oh, you took a risk? You heard nothing about it when you picked this one up?
No, I just saw R-rated cartoon on Amazon exclusive. Let's do it.
Nice.
It's a little different. I was excited to watch it because, yeah, that's all I knew about it. I knew nothing about it. So, yeah. Quick synopsis, it's an adult animated series based on the Skybound Image comic about a teenager whose father is the most powerful superhero on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's more to it than that, but...
Nah, that's a good synopsis.
All right. The Earth is protected by superheroes, and when teenager Mark Grayson finally inherits powers from his superhero father, Omni-Man... It's a dream come true. But Mark slowly learns there's more to being a hero than just choosing a name and a costume. With his parents by his side, Mark is learning what it takes to be a superhero and follow in his father's footsteps. Slowly rising to the challenge, Mark decides on an iconic name and a costume. Invincible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to the episode than that, and we can get into the little tidbits. But
yeah, get into it.
Yeah, no, it's a origin story, the kid getting his powers for the first time and trying to follow in the footsteps of his already superhero established father, Omni-Man. Yeah, so which came from another planet, right? He's got the sort of the Superman backstory, right?
Yeah, that's what I liked about all the characters we saw within the first, 15 minutes of the episode. All, like, oh, I've seen this before. They were all kind of takes on superheroes that we know. Like, there was one that kind of looked like Batman and one that kind of looked like Aquaman. And one kind of, didn't look like Aquaman, but definitely was Aquaman because he was a fish guy.
He was fish man.
So a lot of, like, DC characters, like versions of DC characters, but obviously Guardians of the Globe, so that kind of reminds me of Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. So yeah, cool. It's cool.
Yeah, they were like the Avengers, right? You know, they had the Wonder Woman, and it's like they already had kind of a Superman kind of guy.
Yeah, like a Wolverine almost Superman type guy.
I don't know, but he was super strong and he flew and all that. So he seemed sort of on par with Omni-Man, but I don't know.
Do you know what the Avengers are called in the DC universe?
The Justice League?
Yeah. Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh. But yeah. Where did these Guardians guys come from? That's something they never,
like, the backstory of each character.
Well, yeah, but they give you the backstory of the dad, and he came from another planet, and he chose Earth to come and be its sole protector. But then, they don't go into, oh, and I showed up, and there was already superheroes here or something. Like, where did all these guys come from?
But I don't know if it really, I don't think it really matters to the story they're telling. And maybe that's the point of making them like, hey, it's kind of like Batman. And then we can kind of go like, oh, yeah, no, I understand Batman. Rich family, parents died. He can do cool shit. So I don't think we need a backstory because we're like, oh, that guy's kind of like Batman. Oh, and that guy's kind of like Flash. And so we're like,
you think that's it? They're just relying on us to run these parallels between already established characters so that we sort of just,
we register
to move
them
on
really
and we
quick.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, okay. Because I mean, by the end of the episode, does it really matter who they are? I don't know.
Yeah.
I started watching, and again, like, no kind of expectations, no understanding of kind of where this came from or what this was. And then I realized I was smiling ear to ear within the first like 15 minutes. Like, just everything felt like really fresh and funny and clever. And even just there, even though it was just another origin story, I appreciated how it all came together.
It was poking fun at a lot of things too, right? Yeah, and it didn't take itself seriously either. So
kind of like a Boys, but I don't. Yeah, I'm not a big
an
Boys
animated
fan.
Boys. No, yeah. It is very, very similar. Yeah. I would say,
but
yeah,
I would say they're doing a little bit better than the Boys did so far within the first episode.
The father son talk was quite funny. He's telling his son, "Oh yes, it's about time. You know where I came from. I'm from another planet, and you're obviously half me, so you're gonna have all these powers too. So when you're, instead of just like the regular birds and the bees, and you're gonna grow pubic hair and all this shit," like, and he's like, "Yeah, you're gonna grow hair in places, your voice is gonna change," and like, "Oh yeah, and you're gonna fly and have superpowers," and stuff, just to add a little bit more to it. And just, but could you imagine though, like, you're like, and now you're just kind of sitting there as a kid waiting for these superpowers to kick in. I mean,
right.
That would be insane. I wonder if he... Oh, no, he didn't. I was going to say, I wonder if he forgot about it, but he didn't forget about it because they sort of grill him at the dinner table every night. "So, your powers come yet?"
Oh, and he's getting out of the house and he's trying to jump into the sky.
When they were having the father-son talk, the kid, the young Mark, had a Canada shirt on. I wonder what that was. That was obviously... on purpose for some. I wonder what that nod was all about. Where's the, what's the Canada reference?
Right. There? And I remember catching that and then not thinking any, like not researching that. So obviously,
maybe that's got Seth Rogen getting a little.
Maybe we got producers Canada. That are Canadian. I can't think of if Robert Kirkman is Canadian. He might be. Maybe they live in Canada. Maybe he's flying back to Canada every night. That's part of his incognito alias. He's just a Canadian dad. Yeah, interesting. Or maybe it's a time thing as far as the Olympics. That's the only other theory I got going. Yeah, I really like this. I liked even just the science of it, like the whole leveraging space when he's teaching his son how to fly and then also how to just use all the physical space around him. I just thought it was really cool. It's something that the comics, I think, can do very easily with superheroes and like live action stuff. It's just a little bit, it's harder with special effects to really play the idea that if you can fly, everything you can do can be levitating above the ground. Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, like saying like they don't need leverage on anything, right? You know, they don't need things to push off of and all that and get extra, you know, they use your flight for that extra force, right?
Yeah.
And anyways, I really liked it when he was getting his powers and learning to land. It was late at night. His mom comes down and she's like, you got to come inside. And she was kind of like enforcing the rules and stuff. And he was like, make me.
Yeah.
And she kind of responded like, oh, does that make you feel strong in order knowing that I can't physically make you do something? And then he kind of bowed his head and was kind of like, no. And I just thought it was cool how she stood up to him. And then also how he kind of had that voice of reason, and you know, you're like, okay, this is actually a good kid, you know. And you know, you get another scene of that in the high school when he's being bullied and he's already has his powers. You know, he's been repeatedly bullied by this one guy and he finally gets his powers and decides, you know, he could kill this guy, obviously, but instead just does nothing and embarrasses the guy. And it was just just some good character stuff to see. And you know, what a young kid like this with all basically, it was like what his dad said, you're invincible. You know, you could easily turn into, did you ever see Brightburn where the kid, it was like, what if Superman was bad kind of thing?
No.
And it was all based on like this young kid anyways. And yeah, he just did all these evil things, you know, and I don't know where I'm getting at with that, but just, you know.
Yeah, Brightburn.
He was good. He could have been bad easily, but he chose good.
Yeah, no, so. I think, cool decisions. They're making neat choices as characters, but it feels genuine. And again, feels like it's fresh writing too. Like, there, you know, the whole superhero thing is played to death, but I'm getting something out of this. I feel like they're looking at things in a cool way, at being cartoons and playing with the physicality of it, but also just like, yeah, taking a good, neat stance to the whole thing. A good perspective. I also really like, and I wish we saw this more in Marvel or whatever, but the bad guys that weren't doing things on a grand scale. So because you see all the, just like how there's tons of superheroes, there's also tons of like kind of bad guys with powers. And you see some of the, like, you see some of them being like, hired out as like just thugs to just help real like normal bad guys,
right? Like those guys were like robbing a bank or something like that,
so they just paid kind of like a bad guy with powers just to be their bodyguard. And they're just like little moments like that. And so the best example for me is, in as far as a cinematic universe, is the Nolan's Batman series, when he used Scarecrow, when Cillian Murphy did Scarecrow in like two of the movies, I believe. Right. I just thought it was a great use of like a character. You know, but not, he was just doing petty crimes all the time. But he was just always there in the background. Like, I think that feels real to me versus like, I'm going to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there was that one guy. He's like, I'm about to die, so I'm going to nuclear. I'm going to, he had like a jetpack on. He was talking to that other kind of Superman guy and he just grabbed him and threw him into space. Yeah. He's like, when all this fails, just throw him into space. I was wondering why this was rated R. It was like the odd swear and stuff like that, and I was like, why was this rated R? Is this 18? And then the ending came.
I'm sure we had the exact same thought. And then And then it really dawned on me the whole Walking Dead with the whole Robert Kirkman kind of vibe. But yes, you see,
it was just shock violence at the end there.
Yeah, you just see Omni-Man just destroy every member of the Guardians of the Globe in the most graphic, disturbing way.
You just shit kicked them.
Oh, fuck yeah. Sorry.
And why do you think he did? You did. I said it first. Okay. And you said, and then you said the F word. So okay. We made it pretty good.
That was good. So every time we swear, we put a coin in the jar. And then after episode 100, Sean donates a lot of money to the charity of your choice.
That's right. Go back to episode 11 and you can hear about what that's all about. Yeah. Basically, we'll let you know in episode 99. All right. Yeah. So stick with us until then.
Yeah. Or you let us know in episode 99 and we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I just mean, like, why do you think he... I've got...
Predictions.
Yeah, I've got a prediction why
You predict.
I think maybe... I don't know, the one guy hints, he's like, oh, someone's controlling his mind. Right. Like, but who would have done that? That kind of person wasn't established. Maybe, but I don't know. I thought maybe he's... just trying to make way for his son,
right?
You know, less competition, make his son look good, or all of a sudden like, oh, the Guardians of the Globe have all disappeared. Who's going to help us now? And Omni-Man's like, oh, my son Invincible now. And right. All of a sudden, you know, he can come into the spotlight and not have to worry about any competition. So,
yeah, we're, so then taking from the, or to that point, doing a very Thanos thing of like clearing the way and getting rid of the others, but maybe there's also like a, we'll learn by the end of the season that there was a similar to the Boys, where maybe this group of Guardians of the Globe were actually real nut jobs and actually not very good people, and his dad was afraid that Invincible would get caught up with them, and so he took them out.
Or vice versa. Like Omni-Man's like a...
Omni-Man's not a good dude.
What's his name? Yeah, from the Boys.
Outlander or Homelander?
Homelander. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Outlander. He's just a super nut job. Right. You know, he's just... I don't know. Maybe he just lost it. Exactly. He's tired of being invincible and having to act like a regular person, and he just snapped or something. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I think, so those are a couple of theories. We'll see what happens.
I think maybe by the end of the series, I think maybe his son will uncover some more nasty truths about his father, and he's going to be sort of pitted against him. And it's going to be like, either do the right thing and go against your father, or like protect your father and side with him or whatever. I think he's going to be put in a rock and a hard place between,
little Luke and...
Darth Vader action going on.
Yeah,
we'll see.
You never know. Yeah, should we rate this?
Let's rate this bad boy.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
This is the part where we rate it. One sucks, two's all right, three is good, four is great, and five, man, it's earth shattering and changes your life. Russ,
you know, you go first. You know, I teetered here, but I gave it a four. It's a pretty confident four. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to continue watching it. I hope it stays fresh and original throughout its whole season arc. I have faith in my boy Bobby K, and look forward to going on the journey.
Nice. I'm surprised you liked it so much. That's good. I gave it three jarps.
Interesting.
For a 40-minute pilot episode, it dragged a bit for me. I wish there was a little bit more action, but I understand the need for setup and, you know, the origin story and all that. The end really pulled me back in, though, when it had kind of almost lost me a bit, and then the end came and it pulled me back in with its brutality. And I'm just kind of hoping, though, I'm curious to watch the next episode. I'm just hoping that the rest of the series sort of picks up where it left off, you know, and it's not again a slow rise to a 2-minute wow ending, you know, and every episode is kind of like that, you know. Right.
I like a good slow rise. I don't mind it.
Yeah, but not every episode we're like, okay, let's wait for the last 2 minutes. Where's the kicker coming in, right?
And then he says, I
And when it becomes formulaic and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
When's the twist?
Here you know, we go. Now yeah, his mom's
a lot
bad.
Of series did that.
So this was originally written by Robert in 2003. So and I believe this I believe they've kind of concluded the comic. So there's a lot of material here that they can go with for quite some time. And obviously, if we want to do some research, we could figure out how the story goes. But I'm happy to be surprised and watch the show.
Yeah. No, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You don't have any idea like how long the comic ran for? How many publications there were?
Yeah, I believe there's hundreds.
Oh, wow. So tons of content
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so there, I think there's a whole universe similar to like a DC Marvel universe, like the whole Skybound Image has a universe as well. And so I think those characters kind of go back and forth. But again, making assumptions here.
Well, there's some new voices to come. We got, I'm looking at the IMDb here.
Seth, I think, is coming.
Sorry?
Seth is coming, isn't he?
Seth? Yeah, Seth Rogen. Yeah. He's in 2 episodes. John Hamm is in a couple episodes.
Nice.
Mahershala Ali, the Academy Award winner, he's in 2 episodes.
Cool.
Obviously, Mark Hamill was already in. He's in a couple episodes. Zachary Quinto, he's in 6 episodes. He plays a robot, so I imagine
Zachary Quinto did Spock, right? He's in the Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 He also does American Horror Story for a couple episodes. I know he did season 2. The greatest. I haven't seen all the American History. American Horror.
yeah.
What? American Horror Story.
Yeah,
American Horror Story.
Yeah,
I haven't seen all the seasons.
Yeah.
I've seen about 5 of them, I think. But season 2 is just.
So even me,
unreal.
Who hates horror stuff, I should watch it?
Yeah, no, do not watch season 2.
I don't want to.
You will not sleep.
I don't want to.
No, you don't want to.
Like you
want to
throw up?
Okay.
This is the time where we ask how we're liking the shows that we've reviewed in the past. John, 30 coins, update.
What's the 3rd episode? Hang
oh,
on.
Oh, you did watch it.
Let's go to Mighty Ducks first, okay?
Okay. But unfortunately, I will have nothing because I have not watched episode 2.
Oh, you haven't kept up on it?
No, we didn't keep up on it.
Oh, okay. We're up. We're up. We watched it. It's Saturday night. It's Sunday night tonight. Last night, we watched it, so.
Yeah. Is it over or is it still going on?
Nope.
Still a cute family romp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So you would recommend it as a good family watch?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. My 5-year-old likes it. My 7-year-old likes it.
Cool.
Me and my wife like it. So yeah, it's cute. It's something safe to put down for the whole family to watch. And good themes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you ready for 30 coins then?
30 coins. Yes. The 3rd episode is entitled El Espejo.
Okay, good.
El Espejo.
El Espejo.
Yeah, it has an 8.0 rating on IMDb, so it was pretty good.
Pretty good. And what do you say?
Well, you know, it was a mysterious. It was about a mysterious mirror that holds a secret in its reflection.
Wait, you know, you didn't watch this, you motherfucker. You're just
what?
You didn't watch it.
Of course I didn't watch it.
You
I
were
can't
supposed
hard enough
to. You promised.
I know. I'm so busy.
Oh, yeah.
He's
so busy.
Can I get a pass?
You got a pass. Yeah, you got a pass.
And I'll try. I'm just looking at the thumbnail for this 3rd episode. I'm like, fuck this. What is this shit? Oh, giant demon guy.
So Sean.
Staring down at a... Fidel Castro.
So here. Sean has to continue watching the HBO Europe series 30 Coins.
You said I just had to try and watch the 2nd one, man.
Wait, let's hold them all
seriously,
accountable.
It's brutal, man.
You gotta keep going, man. Just a little bit at a time.
Okay, but just let me kind of peck away at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll try and... Okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping I actually could watch it and then we could like make fun of it.
Yeah. Well, I would have enjoyed that.
I know. I ruined the podcast. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Let's pack it in. Everybody, let's turn off the lights. Let's get out here.
Quick. Wait, no, we've got Media Rewind to do first.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, everybody, sit down. Let's relax.
Okay, back on.
Turn the lights on.
Game.
Okay, we're going to keep
game
going.
On. We're
gonna keep on. I'll be back.
This week, we went back in time to Parenthood. This movie is
amazing.
This movie is amazing.
It's great.
I find this movie amazing.
It's great.
I
think
I enjoyed it back then. I enjoyed it now. I watched it with my wife. It was the first time she'd ever seen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I got a newbie to watch it. I don't know if she quite loved it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's got more of a nostalgia thing for me. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, still, what a great piece of cinematic history this movie
100%.
is.
100%. I think it's probably my favorite that we've gone back to other than What's Eating Gilbert Grape. But I enjoyed every moment kind of seeing it again for the first time in a long time. But also just remembering going like, oh, yeah, the grandma. Oh, yeah, Keanu Reeves. Oh, yeah, like all that. Just great.
Yeah,
great
I totally moments. Forgot Keanu Reeves was in it. And then I totally forgot River Phoenix was in it when he was still called Leaf. Himself Leaf.
Leaf.
Leaf Phoenix.
No, Leaf is Joaquin. River.
Yeah, Joaquin. Sorry. Yeah. Whoop, my bad.
You know, it's fine. Yeah. It's a phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Steve Martin, Mary Steenburgen, Hamburgers, Rick Moranis, Diane Wiest. I don't know. She got an Academy Award nod for this one.
No, I think she's amazing in this.
I do, too, but I only like her in this movie.
I would listen to her say, "Hi, Gary," like over and over. I was like, every time she said,
"Okay, nice talk."
She's, "Hi, Gary." I just fucking howled. She was so good.
Canaries.
Yeah, Canaries. And great. And so this is a
Gary
this...
got his first boner like a couple months ago. Yeah. You know what that is, right?
Yeah. So this is one year after Bill and Ted. So this is after.
I thought this was prior to Bill and Ted.
No, this is one year after. Oh, okay. So you wonder, like, and sometimes shooting schedules. So, like, I wonder when they casted him in this role, if it was after Bill and Ted came out, or if they had already been like filming. And but yeah, just the hilarity of him like popping out from under the bed. And with his little treasure trail.
Your mom sure could talk. Yeah.
just now looking back on it and just seeing the career of Keanu Reeves, it's cool.
I think of that. I thought this was one of Ron Howard's first movies, but no, he had already done a couple really good ones prior to this. Cocoon, Willow, there's a couple, one or two other ones that everybody would
happy
know.
Days.
He did a bunch before this.
He did all the Happy Days, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just joking.
Backdraft.
Oh, he did Backdraft? Yeah.
Yeah. Backdraft. Beautiful Mind, but that was after
that
this.
That was after, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Brian Grazer,
Randy of course.
Newman.
Yeah, exactly.
You got more people guessing. No reason that you can't go take it back.
Fuck, I hate Randy Newman.
Oh, dude, settle down, Randy.
Come on, he sucks.
No, he's great. He's great.
You don't find it a little annoying?
I find him a funny character. Like, I find the whole voice thing. But I mean, just, you know, Toy Story.
But it fits, I guess.
It brings a smile. It warms my heart a little bit when I hear him, but I wouldn't say that I would buy a CD. Like, he's an accomplished musician.
Yeah, right. You've got a whole stack of Randy Newman's greatest hits.
I don't know if you can see the bookshelf behind me, but yeah. That's a Randy Newman action doll.
This movie made a friggin' killing, man.
Oh, sure.
$20 million to make, made $126 million. So... what's that? Six times.
And that's good for
1989. I mean,
mark that up with inflation. I bet you it's a pretty solid comedy.
Yeah, I wonder where it lands on the list of kind of successful movies when you break down what they cost compared to what they made and then do inflation and all that shit. So
well, we'll figure that out for next time.
You will.
Okay.
That's your homework. Okay. I'm just kidding. You were speaking of the grandma. Yeah, I love her, and I still say it all the time, or I try and even live by it, is her roller coaster quote.
Yeah.
It's just the best, man.
And I think it resonates with me more now, although I could definitely recall it as a kid too. But I mean, you know, when we were watching this in 1989, being a teenager or however old we were, you know, I remember being a teenager and going like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And then this time I'm watching, I'm like, grandma's got it. She knows. Yep. She knows so much.
Yeah, grandma's smart.
Grandma's smart.
I think this movie, I think it was great watching this movie now as a parent.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
I never watched it as a parent yet. And now having watched as a parent, like some of the scenes are so much more funnier now because you can relate, you know, the little girl barfing all over him at the end of a long day at the ball field and
putting the kids,
just trying to figure out your kids' emotions 100%. And all that kind of stuff. It's
100%.
Yeah.
And even just the difference of raising kids. So just the bits at the first party where you got like Rick Moranis doing one thing to his daughter Steve Martin, you know, kind of like offhandedly just kind of waving off all his kids' weird behaviors. And like with when the power goes out and you can hear Rick Moranis kind of like breaking down what to his daughter, what happened. And then you can hear like Mary Steenburgen like explain it to her child. And she's like, you know, something went bang, bang, bang. Or I don't know what she says, but it's just a funny how parents just kind of educate their kids and treat their kids.
Yeah. Like total different strokes, different folks thing. Yeah. Who do you think out of the two kids, you've got the one single girl, smart as a whip, her parents are just kind of totally overbearing, putting her in everything, trying to make her this child prodigy, and then she's the same age as Steve Martin's kid, who's, you know, just running around being a little boy, banging his head, getting naked, you know, and all that. Like, who do you think's going to turn out better? My vote's on the kid with the bucket on his head. You know what I mean? I see that little girl being this sort of...
She'll either be a genius or a crackhead.
Psycho.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, she'll either go one or the other, right? Like, either she'll be, like, super high-achieving... Yeah. Or she'll just be so pressured that she just, you know,
she'll save the world or end it.
Right. Kind of exactly. Thing. Where he'll just be like, he'll make six figures. You know, he'll have a couple of
Buckethead.
Kids.
Yeah. You know, he might play a little football every now and then. He'll probably go to community college and he'll do all right.
Yeah, makes a good burger, that Buckethead.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis and Steve Martin, obviously, like amazing comedians who had already worked together with Little Shop of Horrors, which you just recently saw.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
I think it was the only movie that they did together before that. But both, like, you know, Saturday Night Live and just like the whole, like, Rick Moranis had done Spaceballs 2 years before. Steve had done like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels 2 years before. So these guys are like just at the top of their careers.
Okay, you got. You gotta pick one or the other, Steve Martin or Rick Moranis.
For my dad?
Yeah. For
dad. my dad. I have to pick Steve Martin. I connected with Steve easier as a kid. I don't know. I think I'd be probably happier with Rick Moranis. Like, I feel like he's just a little bit more an average dude's funny, down to earth.
He quit acting to raise his kids, His wife passed away and he quit acting and just totally...
Is that what happened? Martin Short's wife died. I didn't realize that Rick Moranis' wife died too. I think
Rick Moranis is a single father.
I'm not sure either.
But
he has been out of the biz for a while.
Yeah. Regardless, he quit the biz to raise his kids.
Okay,
cool. Which is commendable.
Yeah,
considering, like you said, I think he was at a super prime of his career when he actually did leave. He was getting gigs still left, right, and center.
Well, he probably did like the
fourth. But man, he had a good run. You know, SCTV, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids series, and then all these other things. You know, he was in the '80s. You know, he had a whole bunch of hits. Yeah, Ghostbusters and Strange Brew. Oh, yeah. And
hey, how's it going?
Hey, hoser.
So what are the things that stuck out for me that I could remember, like the whole Cowboy Dan stuff, that resonant, like that. I was like, oh yeah. And I, again, like, as
a, what did dad do to come and save the day? Yeah. Like, that just makes, like my cheeks are like, so just thinking about it, like what he did to save his kid's birthday. Yeah. Like, it was just awesome, man. Yeah. So good. So good. So, yeah.
Such a good physical comedian too, Steve Martin.
Yeah. Just Rawhide. So funny. Yeah.
great two picks, man. Good job.
Thanks, man. Boom, thanks. Boom. Yeah. No, I'm glad you really like both of them. That makes me happy when you like my picks.
You get it. Now, how do they connect with each other? You tell me. What's your thesis here? What's your doctorate paper say?
Well, the whole trying to make your father proud and, you know, get the approval from your father.
And parenting ain't easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, what did he say? Sometimes you got to make the hard choices that, are you prepared to do that, son?
Yeah. There was a bit in Invincible, which I thought, I want to think about it a little bit longer or rewatch that, but they're at the dinner and he comes down, and he says, I got my powers. And the dad's just looking at him, and mom like kind of kicks dad under the table to say something. And I thought it was kind of a really cool bit. Like, it just like dad didn't know what to say, but he had to say something. And yeah, I just thought that was an interesting, like, interesting.
Yeah. I didn't know if like he didn't believe him at first or something like that. Like, I didn't quite get why he was so hesitant to say anything there. You think he just didn't know the right parenting words to say, or
I think to your point, like I think it's upsetting for his dad. Like, obviously this is going to disrupt the balance, and maybe this has something to do with why he killed all the Guardians of the Globe at the end of the episode, but there's something going on with dad and how he perceives this. Like,
he was upset that it took, that his son was a bit of a late bloomer on his powers too, right? He was like, normally they get them by now, you know, and I think he was hoping
that he wouldn't get them.
Yeah. Now why?
Yeah.
Just maybe no competition in the family, and
who knows? Or maybe he knows something. Maybe there's like a slippery slope to all the superhero stuff. I don't know.
We'll find out. Hopefully.
Yeah, we will. Here we go. Last section. This is stargazing, where we talk about what we're really excited about, what we're watching on the side, what we're doing in our lives. Sean, what are you grooving on?
I was super, super, super stoked for the new Mortal Kombat that came out. Right. So I was chomping at the bit, and you know, the night it came out, I got all geeked out and paid my $24.99 and watched the Mortal Kombat. Meh, 6 out of 10, I'll give it. You know, that's okay though, because the fanboy me, you know, they paid good homage to the video game. They put some cool Easter eggs in there, but from a quality movie standpoint, yeah, it's like a 6, 6.5.
So,
but
is it still a popular game?
Yeah, no, yeah, they've got Mortal Kombat 11 going on right now. Okay. Yeah, and it's got like every character under the sun. They've integrated like RoboCop and Rambo and the Terminator and all these. Yeah, and the Predator and Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. You know,
So are those characters in this movie?
No.
So it's just still the same.
Yeah, they're still
IP kind from the original game.
Yeah, from probably like 1, Sub-Zero. 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3, right. They would probably steal the characters from. Right. It was good. So went on a bit of a Mortal Kombat kick.
Nice. Let's think how many characters from Mortal Kombat I can list. And this is knowing that I never played Mortal Kombat, but I sat in your basement and watched you play Mortal Kombat a lot. Sonya.
Yeah.
Raiden.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero.
Yep.
Ken? Is it Ken?
No.
Guile.
But that's Guile. No, you're starting to mess. Street Fighter. Ken and Guile are Street Fighter.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay, now I'm going to get them all mixed up. Oh, Sonya? Sonya?
You already said Sonya.
Okay, that's all I got.
Okay, that's okay.
Damn it. Thought I could do better. A Scorpion?
Yep, Scorpion's one. Yeah, he's the best, man. He's the best.
And Luke Cage.
Liu Kang. And Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage. Now I'm just remembering the old original movie.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I guess it ended.
It wrapped up.
I had to sort of internet search, was that the last episode of... And sure enough, it was. It didn't. Yeah, I'm not crying that it's over. I kind of forgot what that whole terrorist organization was fighting for to begin with. Now the whole time, you know, you kind of I lost track of what their cause was all about.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and it was hard to kind of keep it all straight.
Yeah, and I thought faux pas Captain America might kind of turn. He kind of turned bad, and then he kind of turned good at back to good again at the end.
Yeah, with
not a lot. I was hoping he'd stay bad, and you know, maybe it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, like why did they need to bring him in the last episode? They should have just left him out like after the second to last episode, kind of just, you know. In the background, you're like, oh, what happened to him? Like, he would have been nice to come around and see him again in a later movie or another TV show. But yeah, we didn't need him to come back and have a little arc that didn't seem justified. They were trying to do a lot. And I would say they didn't pull it off successfully as much as I wish they did.
Yeah. Kind of like WandaVision, just the ending.
No, shut your face about WandaVision.
No, I liked WandaVision, except the ending just kind of...
Yeah,
I didn't think the ending was as strong as
the earlier episodes, but I think overall I feel like WandaVision pulled it off a little bit better.
Yeah, I'll give you that. As a series, WandaVision was better than the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
What did you think about the new suit in the Falcon's new suit?
Oh yeah, I predicted that it wouldn't have wings and it did have wings.
Yeah, you did predict it was going to be like a Captain America / Falcon type suit.
Yeah, but I said it wouldn't have wings, so I was wrong there. But it did all the same shit, right? He still had the little drone. It was cool.
You like the suit?
Yeah. I like the design kind of cheese, of it. But I wish maybe it was a little different. Like maybe it, like I said, maybe it didn't have wings. Maybe, you know, it was still a super suit, but it enabled him to kind of fight in a little bit of a different way. Maybe more just... hand-to-hand combat, or maybe instead of wings it was just a straight-up jetpack that didn't need wings or something. I don't know.
The whole same thing felt cheesy, and I think the one scene that kind of captured it for me was like he was doing some sort of fighting in the sky and then he landed on a bridge, and it was all happening, you know, very quickly, obviously, as you do when you fly. But as he lands on the bridge, there's just like a row of people just standing outside their car and they're all just cheering. it just seemed like so, it just seemed so fake and just so
go
weird.
America.
Yeah, go, yeah. Like, why suddenly would they all be out of their cars, standing politely, ready to applaud as someone falls from the sky in the middle of a bridge? Like, you would be kind of like, what? Even if it was your mom, you'd still be like, what the f-?
And they're like firing down on them, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a weird, I don't know. I feel like. I didn't, you know, I feel like the whole trajectory of like getting to the point where he was now the new Captain America is fine, but it felt very rushed and forced as far as like the embrace of like the larger public. I don't know.
Yeah, who is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's a Falcon. No, it's not. That's the new Captain America.
Yeah.
Something like that in there.
Well, who knows? But at least it was just immediate, like, it just like, it. Because he was ready, snap, everybody else was ready, which is fine. But it just seemed like, I don't know, just seemed forced. Yeah. It didn't seem real, you know, and this is a critique to a superhero movie. It didn't seem real enough.
Superheroes weren't real enough. Hey, it didn't fly cool enough.
I wish it felt more realistic. Yeah. Yeah, so overall, I thought it was fine. But I think it didn't really land the ending. Land the ending? That's not right. What is it?
I don't know. Land the ending didn't land well.
Yeah, maybe.
Falcon didn't land well on the ending.
Yeah, I wish I could have said that better. That would make me sound really clever.
You are clever. Watch the your boy and the nobody. Just called nobody. What's his name?
My boy.
Better Call Saul guy.
Oh, yeah.
Odenkirk. Yes. It's just nobody.
And was that good?
Yeah, it's like if John Wick retired for 20 years and had a family and then had to for one day go back to doing what he had to do.
Wasn't that the thing with John Wick?
It was fun.
The thing with John Wick is that he did retire and have a family and then he was
But he only retired for like a year or two. Oh, okay. This guy retired for like 20 years and got like the dad bod and all that shit, right? And It's good.
I'll give it a shot.
Whatever.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Minari. Watch Minari. Amazing. Excellent.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Very well written.
I don't really want to. I mean, there's really not too much to get into other than just make sure you watch it. It's great. Yeah. So have you just been watching the same shit I have, or do you what?
You know what? Honestly,
what do you have to add to this list?
Yeah, no. I was thinking about it. I haven't really been watching a lot. The one thing that the wife and I have started watching is Mare of Easttown, which is Kate Winslet on the HBO. Kind of another murder mystery. And we're two episodes in on that one. That's pretty good so far. So I'd recommend if you got the HBO, start watching that one.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Did you guys keep up on
that? Yeah, we watch. Like, it's more of a just like a, you know, if you're just
like The Office or Parks and Rec,
you kind of watch a couple and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
they're funny. I think we got to season two for sure, and they're quick episodes. And you don't need to really watch them in order necessarily. Danny DeVito was introduced kind of at the end of season one, And at first I thought, well, it was funnier before Danny DeVito got there, but I think I'm starting to enjoy his presence in the show. Shout out to Jason again. Jason, you're the man.
Number one fan.
Thanks for listening. Shout out to Richard. Thanks. Shout out to everybody, man.
Shout out to my family. We listen to this when we travel.
Shout out to Sean's family. Hey, guys.
Yeah, I can't believe I let my kids listen to this.
Sorry about the swearing.
At least we bleep out the F words.
Yeah.
They know not to repeat anything Daddy says on this show. So,
please. Or Uncle Russ.
Or Uncle Russ. Don't repeat anything they say.
Yeah.
Just listen only. Does it make me a bad parent?
Yeah, I think it's questionable. I think you have questionable parenting. You make questionable parenting choices, yeah.
Hey, bitch. Different strokes, different folks.
All right, guys. Love you, buddy. See you later.
Love you, too. Peace.
Bye.